Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the preview of Manchester City against that lot who cheered when Paul Lake was stretchered off in 1990. Never forgive, never forget. Villa did something in December that very, very few teams have managed in recent years. They made us look perfectly ordinary, but recent showings suggest tiredness could be becoming a factor for the Villains. It will be tough, but minus key man, they're there for the taking this evening. That's my take. Now let's get the thoughts of my co-previewer today. None other than Asan. Hello, sir.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm grateful that there's another game of football tonight. I think that when you feel a bit disappointed at out the back end of a result, I think it's always great to have another game quickly.
Agreed. Before we get into the football, I'm somewhat exasperated.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I won't name them, but I do a social media for a company, for a football-related company. And they asked me once, I put a post up about the Daily Mail, I think, and Raheem Sterling. And there was a lot of kickback from that. And they said, I'll just keep everything non-political in whatever way you can. Just, you know, we don't want any controversy. I was like, of course, no worries. So I always stray away from any controversial thing and just try and keep it funny. Anyway, April Fool's Day, I put a picture up of Joey Barton and I just simply put an April Fool, right? Because I didn't want to do a tired old, you know, prank or something like that, you know, on social media. And I thought, well, no one's going to complain about that. It's Joey fucking Barton. Oh, the response, mate. I mean, you know, obviously the majority are agreeing with me, but people are calling it a political issue, saying, oh, when a company enters into this political debate, it's not a political debate. It's not a political issue. It's Joey Barton and his, I mean, his last tweet was suggesting that Emma Hayes should be punched on her breasts. You know what I mean? How is that a political issue? Anyway, I'm just exasperated. I've just seen all the responses today and just thought, wow, is this where we are now?
I mean, I think, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that the platform formerly known as Twitter has become a little bit of a cesspit of, right-wing madness. And it's funny how they're all quite soft. Do you know what I mean? Like
snowflakey, you could say.
Yeah, for a collection of people who coined the phrase snowflakes, like they're pretty snowflakey about most things. And so I try really hard. I try really hard not to get involved. It's difficult, but I try.
I've got to say, I mean, it won't affect me, you know, my job's safe and all the rest of it, but there's at least six people on there saying, you know, oh, well, I won't be using your company anymore, and that's because of you. You know, trying to get me into trouble, basically, trying to get me fired from my job. And it's like, whenever you see that, you just see
part
what
of
kind
the
of scumbag. Yeah.
It's all part of the grift. I think that's the thing that I've learned is that there is so much of what we see on there that is really performative, grifting. You know, wouldn't surprise me if a large majority of those people or a large percentage of those people would never say out loud in their daily life the thing that they say whilst hiding behind an avatar on a social media platform.
My favourites are the ones who just say, you know, bye, and then name the company. They're still there.
It's like the lads who follow Stefan, right? And then like are constantly like abusing him and having a go at him. And he's continually like, you know where the unfollow button is, right? It's not complicated. I'm exactly the same. I'm like, you know, anybody who doesn't like what I write, just click unfollow. It's cool.
Just the last one, what tickled me was, I haven't used your company for years and don't intend to again. Well, great. You haven't used a company for years, so there's no difference, is there, dickhead? Anyway, let's get to the football and let's get to a big, big game tonight. Before we do so, we've got to touch on Roy Keane's criticism of Erling Haaland and his recent performances at the weekend. Apparently, Haaland's almost like a League Two player. Mm. I want to kind of come back to you on Pep's reaction, but before I do, what's your reaction to that?
I mean, it's not really a surprise that a Sky Sports pundit has gotten edgy about Haaland. I think it's probably a reflection of the standards that he set last season. But specifically for Roy Keane to say that, I'm glad that Pep went back at him. I stand by the fact that I cannot stand Roy Keane.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the history that he's got with the Haaland family, for him in particular to say that, I mean, you know, Roy Keane's going to find himself eyeball to eyeball with Erling Haaland at some point in the next few months. You can absolutely guarantee that. And it will be very interesting to see if he stands by that comment when he actually has to look Erling in the eye.
Well, yeah, he's going to need a stepladder to do so, isn't he? The little shit. Yeah, I don't mind criticism of Erling Haaland this season. I don't mind it when you read articles and they're breaking down his kind of productivity compared to last season, particularly the big chances he's missed. I mean, in terms of his goal-scoring form, you know, equates to the very best around. Of course, he's right up there in contention for the Golden Boot. But to say he's almost like a League Two player is clearly just trolling. It's clearly looking for a headline. And he is just the ultimate hypocrite for me, Roy Keane. He spent a whole career just looking down on punditry and the whole art form of punditry, then becomes one. He kind of looks down on people who look for the headlines, and then he becomes exactly that kind of person, just for the books, just for the money. And I've got absolutely no time for him, but I guess none of us do. Just a quick word, though, on Haaland in recent weeks. So prior to his injury, he was scoring at a rate of a goal every 92 minutes. Since his injury, and he's back up to, you know, we're talking, what is it now, 4 or 5 weeks now. It's been a goal every 180 minutes, so it's doubled. Is that a concern for you?
Yes and no. I think that my wider concern is the lack of creativity behind him. I think that my overall take on Haaland is he doesn't get anywhere enough service for the criticism that he receives. I don't think that there's been a little bit of a tendency for people to almost compare him to False Nine City and say, oh, well, he doesn't run around enough. Or, sorry, he's not involved enough, right?
Mm.
That's not his game. So he is involved. He would be more involved if he got more service. But if you think that he's going to drop into the left wing position, receive the ball, turn and play a pass like KDB, well, that's not going to happen. That's not his job. There's a reason that when we played False Nine City, the players who played the False Nine kind of excelled at it were all effectively midfielders, because you need a midfielder to do that job. Centre forward's job is to do what Erling did last season and is currently doing. And I think that where I'm looking at everybody behind him and going, he needs way more service. Everybody needs to be much better.
Agreed. I've come round to this way of thinking as regards to the service, just kind of, you know, staying with that, because at the start of the season, I fell into the trap of, you know, he isn't running around enough and he's not making himself available enough. And of course he is. Every time, you know, the ball goes to Rodri from a centre back, he's ready to dart. He's ready to go. And it will never come, that ball, but that's his job, to be ready and prepared. And then through every kind of passage of play, every stage, he's ready. But he needs that service. And then I've come round to the way of thinking that he's not getting enough of that service. We're not using him, utilising him enough. What do you think of Pep's reaction to it? I just found it hilarious when he said about former players and, you know, how quickly they forget. And did I kind of take it the right way that he said that he basically said that Keane was a League One and Two manager?
Well, he basically said, you know, it would be like me saying that he is a League One
right,
or League Two
right,
manager.
Right. Which he kind of was, anyway, for the most part.
Exactly.
Wasn't he?
So, no, but look, I think one of the things that I utterly adore about Guardiola is how defensive he is of Haaland.
Yes,
he's not only is he massively defensive of him, but if you watch the Netflix documentary, he loves him, right?
Mm.
And there's a reason why Erling Haaland plays the number of minutes that he does in Pep's team. And it isn't because there's a clause in his contract that says he's got to play. It's because Guardiola thinks the best way to win games with Erling Haaland in your squad is have Erling Haaland in your starting 11. And that's more than enough for me.
Well, you mentioned the Netflix doc, but before we get to that, and we will be discussing that very imminently, I just want to kind of broaden out the criticism of City right now. So obviously, Haaland took to kind of full force this week, but in recent weeks, and to an extent, I can kind of see where some people are coming from. They're saying that the, I can't remember who it was, said that the flow wasn't there. I thought that's actually a good way of describing it. The flow isn't quite there with City this season. And of course, that extends to our own fan base and on social media and, you know, the aforementioned Twitter. There's a lot of doom and gloom around. We're unbeaten in 21 across all competitions. I'm not suggesting there isn't any problems, but do you think there's too much negativity around City right now?
Massively so. Just really surprised by the level of critique around the team that has existed in the last couple of months. That's the only way that I can describe it or characterize it. I replied to somebody on Twitter today, and I think that this is probably the root of the point for me. So I think with any football team, progress isn't linear, right? So it's not like you have a straight line that goes upwards. And if as a support, you take the peak of your club's team that you've seen in the last 5 years, and then judge everything against that, you'll never be happy and it'll never be good enough, because the reason it's a peak is because it's a peak.
Yeah.
Just, it can't, you simply cannot remain. And I think that the flip side of that for me, and maybe a little bit where I'm just tired of it, is we're 3 points off the top of the league because we deserve to be 3 points off the top of the league. We're in the quarterfinal of the Champions League because we deserve to be in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. We're in the semi-final of the FA Cup because we deserve to be in the semi-final of the FA Cup. And people saying things like, oh, well, we're there despite our performances. For me, they're just, it's a bit sad if you inhabit that sort of headspace where you can't appreciate how good this team is, even in a season where it's not at its peak.
Hmm. I completely agree. It's, I mean, there are issues there, and it's right for them to be discussed,
Absolutely. Particularly
amongst the City fan base. But I absolutely agree that there's far too much negativity around City right now, particularly with the fact that when you look back at a few months ago, all of us were saying, we just want to be in the mix. Be in the mix at this stage, and then we're very happy.
Exactly.
And here we are in the mix. So
exactly. I just want to say, like, I've seen people say things like, maybe it won't be a bad thing if Guardiola doesn't extend, right? I've seen people say things like, maybe it's time for us to look at somebody like Xabi Alonso. I've seen people say things like, maybe it's time for Kevin De Bruyne to go. All of those people respectfully need to give their heads a big, 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 big wobble.
Yeah, particularly on the Alonso issue. I mean, he's just flavour of the month right now. It's very impressive what he's done there at Leverkusen, but come on, it's like we see it time and time again, these managers who have become flavour of the months. I mean, Pep Guardiola
won 3 Premier League titles on the bounce. He did the treble last season. He's 3 points away from winning 4 Premier Leagues on the bounce. Yeah. He's hoovered up more trophies than any coach in that amount of time in the history of the English top flight league. Come on. Like,
yeah.
This is not the moment for these conversations. We're not 6th.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Alonso is flavour of the month. Guardiola is the original source. You know what I mean? He's the unique one. He's the one that everyone aspires to, including Alonso. And yeah, such talk is a bit silly, if I may say so. Okay, you mentioned a Netflix documentary. Now, I've got like just a crazy work week and I'm basically just counting down the hours to Friday where I can binge watch this. You've seen half of it thus far. What can I look forward to? First three. Is there 6, is there? In the...
Yes.
Yeah. So what can I look forward to?
I mean, look, so in the main, it's a puff piece, right? It was produced by City. So there's a lot of really feel good behind the scenes stuff. I think my big takeaway is the atmosphere behind the scenes is really good. Like you can see the squad get on. I think that's a big thing as a collection of professionals who spend as much time together as they do.
Who is, sorry to interrupt you, Sam, but who are the main, who's the gel, who's the glue there then, other players?
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.